Step back in time with Bürgermeisterin, your gateway to the past. I'm Julia, your curator of historical narratives. In each episode, we'll traverse the corridors of history, shed light on the moments that shaped civilizations and transformed the course of human destiny. Once upon a time, in the quiet setting of Luxembourg City, there emerged a fellow by the name of François Schaeffer. He graced the world with his presence on the first day of July in the year 1766, taking up residence at 16 Rue du Capucins. Little did he know that he was destined for greatness, not as a royal pastry chef or a daring haberdasher, but as one of the city's most celebrated mayors. That's right. Now, young Schaeffer wasn't just any ordinary lad. He hailed from a family line that excelled in the noble arts of baking, roasting, and crafting fashionable headwear. As a lad, from 1777 to 1784, he diligently attended the Collège Royal, a fancy name for a school known as Athenaeum, once the Jesuits were shown the door. In the year 1788, Schaeffer decided that the law was more thrilling than a croissant fresh out of the oven. He packed his bags and ventured to Brussels to immerse himself in the world of legalese. However, the allure of Luxembourg was too strong to resist, and by 1791, he was back in his homeland, ready to embark on a journey that would make the likes of Napoleon do a double take. You see, François Schaeffer's star was on the rise, and it gleamed brightly in the era of the French Directory, Consulate and Empire. And when Luxembourg finally broke free and declared its independence, Schaeffer wasn't about to be left behind. He clung to important offices like they were the last pastries in the bakery. In the midst of all this career building, Schaeffer found time for love and commerce. In 1791, he took Anne Barbe Marguerite Sailor as his partner in the grand adventure of marriage. To sweeten the deal, he also inherited his father-in-law's grocery store on the illustrious Grand Rue. But that's not all. This Schaeffer fella was no slouch. In 1794, when he was just a spry trader, he was initiated into the exclusive club known as the 13 Masters of the Bourgeoisie. Not content with that, he also joined the Brotherhood of Saint Sebastian, where they presumably discussed archaic weaponry and probably wore tights. But let's rewind a little bit. On a fateful day, the 23rd of September in 1794, as the leaves began to turn and the scent of baguettes wafted through the Luxembourg air, something remarkable happened. The wise and distinguished judiciary and the aldermen of Luxembourg City, perhaps fooled by a little too much wine and cheese, decided to bestow upon François Schaeffer a remarkable title: Lieutenant of a company of volunteer fighters from the bourgeoisie. It's like they looked around and thought, who better to lead these patriotic pastry enthusiasts than Schaeffer? Fast forward to the 7th of June in 1795, a day that would forever be etched in Schaeffer's life. This was the day the Luxembourg Republican armies threw in a towel and surrendered. But did our hero throw in his apron and call it a day? Absolutely not. In fact, this surrender turned out to be a pivot point in his journey. François Schaeffer was promoted to the lofty position of a municipal officer for the new municipality of Luxembourg. This was no small feat, as it meant he was now the head honcho, the big cheese, or the top croissant in charge of the city's affairs. He took the reins as the general council of the commune was gracefully ushered out of the spotlight. On the 16th of July in 1796, it seemed that Luxembourg City just couldn't get enough of our multi-talented hero. They decided it was high time to appoint him as the Register of Mortgages. You know, just in case the previous Register wasn't appreciating the gravity of their job title. And he didn't stop there. From 1796 to 1798, he was also entrusted with overseeing the mortgage matters of the De Kirch district, because one city wasn't enough to contain his expertise. From January to March in 1797, Schaffo's life took a turn towards the dramatic, as he took a brief immersion from his busy schedule of managing mortgages. During those months, he became a juror at the criminal court. It's almost like he was auditioning for a new role as a judge in a legal drama. But of course, Schaffo wasn't content with just one job or a small taste of the judicial system. On the 9th of November in 1797, he decided to diversify his portfolio and became a member of the central administration of the Ferret department. That was housed in the Grand Ducal Palace, if you remember. Do you remember? That was covered in the Grand Ducal Palace podcast. Go listen to it now. Perhaps he wanted to branch out into forestry, just in case there were legal issues with the local trees. Fast forward to the 10th of April in 1798, and Schaffo once again snagged a new title for his ever-expanding resume. He was now the administrator of the Ferret department. It's as if they realized, this man can handle everything from mortgages to courtrooms, why not put him in charge of the forest too? In the late 1790s, our man Schaffo was more than just a pretty face in various administrative roles. He donned his patriot hat and stepped up to help launch the Cercle Constitutionnel. Their noble mission? To advise the government on the art of spreading freedom and republicanism. Imagine Schaffo and his compatriots sitting around sipping tea and pondering the best ways to be more French than the Eiffel Tower. But that's not all. Schaffo had grand plans in the real estate market. He managed to get his hands on the former Capuchin monastery and its surrounding lands, stretching all the way to the Berlaymont, Bastion and Côte d'Aix. It's like he won the real estate lottery and decided to turn a holy haven into something a bit more practical. The old monastery got a makeover and became a supply warehouse. Who needs poos and pears when you can have shelves and supplies, right? In 1799, Schaffo's penchant for public service showed no sign of waning. He hopped on board as a member of the board of the municipal hospices, but the plot thickens. Even Napoleon himself couldn't resist Schaffo's charm and impressive track record. In due time, he ascended to the position of mayor of Luxembourg City under Napoleon's rule. It's like the cherry on top of a Napoleon pastry, sweet, satisfying, and fitting for a man of Schaffo's talents. It appears, however, that Schaffo's path wasn't always paved with glory. In 1802, trouble brewed because he wasn't too keen on the idea of handing over the former city hall to Prefect Lacoste. It was like a game of hot potato with a historic building, and Schaffo wasn't willing to play along. As a result, he found himself handed a pink slip and his mayoral reign came to a close. Ah, those pesky French. But Schaffo was a man of many talents, and 1803 heralded a new chapter of his life. He took up a gavel as a judge in the commercial court, a position he held onto for a solid 14 years until 1817. It's like he traded his mayoral sash for a judicial robe with panache. Not one to let moss grow under his feet, Schaffo embraced the world of secret societies with a passion. On the 4th of November, he joined the department's electoral college, and just 7 weeks later, on the 21st of December, he was welcomed into the Enfants de la Concorde Fortifiée Masonic Lodge, along with his buddy Jean-Baptiste Gallet. Perhaps they exchanged secret handshakes and discussed the mysteries of the universe over a cup of tea. But Schaffo wasn't done with his secret society adventures. In 1818, he co-founded the Société Littéraire Masonic Society. Because one secret club wasn't enough, obviously. Together with Jean-Baptiste Gallet, they made a bold real estate move, buying the former Maison de Marchand in the Rue de la Loge. Today that building stands as the Grand Lodge of Luxembourg. In 1809, the prefect recognized Schaffo's knack for numbers and appointed him to the review board, responsible for sifting through the list of the 100 folks most likely to pay taxes. He must have had an eye for detail, as his appointment was renewed in 1812. François Chaffaut's life continued to be a whirlwind of activity, especially during the peak years between 1815 and 1830. He wasn't content with resting on his laurels, he was always eager to roll up his sleeves and make a difference. One of his notable roles during this time was joining the church council of the Saint-Pierre parish, which, as fate would have it, later transformed into the Notre-Dame Cathedral. Chaffaut wasn't just a man of the law and secret societies, he had a spiritual side too. His commitment to public service didn't wane. He became a member of the committee responsible for collecting donations to support the defenders of the homeland. It's like he had an uncanny ability to show up wherever help was needed. In 1816, Chaffaut was handed the task of crafting the draft regulations for the new municipal administrators. These rules paved the way for their eventual implementation in 1843, marking a significant chapter in his career. Chaffaut didn't shy away from taking on challenging roles, even during tough times. When food shortages hit in 1816 and 1817, he stepped up as a member of the Central Relief Committee, ensuring that his community didn't go hungry. Then, on the 20th of October in 1817, King Grand Duke issued a decree that crowned Chaffaut as the mayor and chairman of the first Conseil de Régence, Regent's Council, of the city of Luxembourg. It was a prestigious position, and he held it with grace. In 1820, his tenure was extended for an additional 2 years, solidifying his status as the go-to guy for leadership. But wait, there is more! In 1824, the King Grand Duke bestowed upon Chaffaut the title of Chief Alderman, a role he dutifully fulfilled until 1827. It was as if the city couldn't function without his sage guidance. At that point, he was offered a new opportunity to become a district commissioner and a member of the Provost's Commission. He must have had a knack for leadership that couldn't be ignored. In the grand tapestry of Chaffaut's life, it's clear that he was a man of unyielding dedication and boundless energy, always at the forefront of civic duties, even in times of scarcity and change. He was like the real-life superhero of Luxembourg, and his legacy lives on in the Notre-Dame Cathedral and the city's administrative history. In 1827, François Chaffaut made a grand comeback as the mayor for the fourth time. It's almost as if he had a perpetual mayor's sash hanging in his closet, ready to be donned whenever duty called. Even the tumultuous Belgian Revolution didn't deter his resolve. He was appointed as mayor yet again in 1831 and once more in 1836, showing that he was the go-to mayor of Luxembourg. While during his initial term as mayor, he valiantly fought to preserve the former city hall, this time round he set his sights on a grander endeavor. He poured his heart and soul into the construction of the new city hall, strategically located on Place Guillaume II. This is the reference to the podcast about the Luxembourg City Hall and Place Guillaume II. Go listen to it now. This was a project he had initially launched in 1819. You could say that he was a man who believed in the long game when it came to urban planning. But Chaffaut's contributions to the city didn't stop there. He was a true visionary and became the mastermind behind installing the very first public gaslighting systems in Luxembourg. His desire to light up the city was more than just a bright idea. It was a testament to his commitment to progress. In 1841, while still serving as mayor, Chaffaut had the honor of welcoming King William II during the king's first visit to Luxembourg. It was a moment of grandeur and diplomacy that marked his legacy. Yet, even a life as remarkable as Chaffaut's eventually must come to an end. In 1844, this tireless servant of Luxembourg passed away, leaving no living descendants. His dedication to the city was so consuming that he left no room for heirs. When François Chaffaut's time on this earth came to an end, the city of Luxembourg staged a grand and heartfelt farewell. The funeral procession was a spectacle to behold, with children from schools and hospices leading the way like little heralds of respect. Banners waved in the breeze, bands played mournful melodies, and delegations from the many organizations Chaffaut belonged to paid their respects. following closely were the solemn processions of priests, the coffin with grieving relatives, the municipal council, the governor of the city, the governor of the country, government councillors, the major general of the fortress, civil servants, judges, and the high-ranking officers. The enormous crowd that followed was a testament to the impact Schaeffer had on the lives of many. A moving eulogy was delivered by the secretary of the municipal administration after the religious ceremony, capturing the essence of Schaeffer's remarkable life and contributions. In recognition of his outstanding achievements, Schaeffer received numerous prestigious awards. The Kingdom of Prussia honored him with the Order of the Red Eagle. The King Grand Duke recognized his excellence by awarding him the rank of Knight of the Order of the Netherlands Lion, and in 1843, he reached the pinnacle as the commander of the National Order of the Oak Crown. In a fitting tribute, King Grand Duke William II bestowed upon Schaeffer the honorary title of mayor, cementing his place in the Luxembourgish history. Allée François Schaeffer in Limpensburg stands as a perpetual tribute to this former mayor, a reminder of the indelible mark he left on the city. Not to be forgotten, François Schaeffer's wife, who passed away in 1856, was herself a city benefactor. Her will and condicil in 1849 and 1856 left a substantial portion of her fortune to charitable causes. She created scholarships for the less fortunate, supporting education at the Athénée de Luxembourg and higher studies at foreign universities. A special scholarship was also established to empower young women who aspired to become midwives, leaving an enduring legacy of generosity and care. Well, I thought it would be only fair to pay a tribute to the most renowned mayor, Bürgermeister de la Ville de Luxembourg, from Bürgermeisterin to the true Bürgermeister. François Schaeffer was a man who wore way too many hats for one lifetime, but did it so skillfully that, as you heard, when he passed away, the city flooded the streets to say the last goodbye. To be fair, for those years, this was pretty impressive. I like to think that this manifestation of the public attitude was quite genuine, as at the time it should have taken more effort to create a blueprint than it does now. As I was reading the sources, the first impression that I had was superficial. One just can't do these many things, right? Like some of them at once. But then I thought, well, obviously the scope of work was dramatically different from what public servants have these days, which hints on the fact that Schaeffer was probably not feeling fulfilled enough doing just one gig. You see, I reckon that was an exemplar of a man who cared about this community, about making a long-lasting impact, and tried to pay it forward each time he would get a chance. Something that is not that common, right, even now, 200 years down the line. But that's exactly what it takes to make a place where you grow your roots a home, right? Imagine having 5 such chauffeurs. 10. 100. I bet even after the second one, people would stop calling Luxembourg boring. Which brings me back to my everlasting point, the responsibility of having an opportunity to have a fulfilled life lies entirely on the shoulders of the people themselves. It's always a game of give and take, hey? You have to create value to get the value back. But just sitting there waiting for life to happen will only get you this far. So you give to the place and watch it start giving back.